you know, just, again, a lot of these things are work in progress, but I want to continue with the, you know, Revelval slash, you know, four Mechayvim, one Mechayiv, two Dinim, hybrids, yes, no. That's going to have to be filled out as we go along, but I want to talk about that a little bit more now. Then I want to talk, I want to finish off, at least for now, discussions of Lav Kiyotze Bahen and different perspectives that emerge from that. And if we can, just to start with Karen Mechuberes, right? So we'll finish off, you know, the Pratim of Base, hopefully. And then, you know, I'll do just take a quick, on Sunday, hopefully, just to take the overview, because we've seen already, I just want to make clear what we need to kind of keep our eye on going forward in light of what we've done. And then, you know, to continue on, you know, I'm not going to finish the Makoros, I gave you some of them at least, on Karen. Obviously, Karen's all over the place. But at least to begin, we'll talk partly about that today. But Karen is relevant to, you know, the question of Karen Mechuberes, but it's also relevant to the whole question of how you understand Hilchoseim in a very, very significant way, as we'll discuss in just like 2 minutes. So, okay, so that's the plan. And then we finish with Karen Mechuberes and an initial foray into Karen, which will have to be you know, added to. Then we'll move on to a little bit of an initial foray into Shein V'Regel on Dav Gimel. There, of course, what we need to look at is the question of Mechal Yakarna, why that should or shouldn't make a difference, and Shiluchei Mishalchi. Okay, what do those discussions imply? The relationship between Shein and Regel itself in different parts of the Gemara. That'll be part of the survey on Sunday of, you know, based above. As well, and again, you know, the factors of obviously Matsui and Hanal and Ezeka, etc., and so on. I mean, we'll try to go in order, but, you know, with an awareness of what the bigger, I guess, questions are. Okay, so what we've been doing, which has taken a little bit more time than I wanted, but is very, very important. Again, this is a piece of the Chidush HaGriz. You know, it's not just a piece. It's a piece which, you know, if you agree with it or if it sparks, you know, some disagreement or a lot of disagreement or just discussion, it's very critical because it really, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, right, it kind of focuses our attention on the biggest issue, basically. You know, it sounds like a big statement, in all of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, right? No less than that. And that is the question that we're dealing with, which is, what does it mean when we speak of Arba Avos Hazikin, and whether or not, as we've discussed in general, whenever you have, you know, the paradigm of Avos, you know, they are mostly, you know, common. That's what we emphasize, Tzad Hashav of the Mishnah, and then, you know, we adjust with Hilchosein. And again, the most extreme way to do that is to say that even the Arba Avos Hazikin themselves are really fundamentally chayiv because of the Tzad HaShaveh of what they all share in common. That's the most extreme way to say that. And that all the, you know, seeming, you know, glaring chisronos of particular Avos, or the other direction, if you want to say it more positively, all of the, you know, very attractive mazik, you know, characteristics of particular avos. Again, let's say, you know, the, you know, boar is always an easy target, right? Boar's, you know, ein darko leilech olahazik, you know, being an example of a seemingly glaring, you know, chisaron in terms of candidacy of mazik. Boar's tchilas asiyaso, you know, lenezek, being, you know, a good reason. Shores, you know, there's tam, you know, which is, you know, not chayv nezek shalem, being a negative for the moment. And bors, kavanoso lahazik, assuming that that's a chumra, you know, being a positive, and so on and so forth, in each case as it comes up. Right? So the generic way of looking at all of the, even the arba avos hazikin, is to say that, you know, these are misleading. On the negative side, they're misleading, and on the positive side, they are misleading. And once we know about all the Arbavos Hazikin, so a lot of these factors, you know, cancel each other out. They're all factors that, you know, they're all might have beens. You know, I wouldn't say wannabes. You know, they're all would have beens or might have beens, right? If we only, it's telling us why, being Megala, why the Torah needed to be so specific, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, these singular things that define each and every Av, you know, Lekula and Lechumra, don't really play a role in the Ikarchi of Tashlumin. Maybe they do play a role, somewhat of a role, in the Hilchoseim, and the perspective here is that the Hilchoseim are Xeris HaKasus. They themselves, you know, are not very compelling. So again, if you say that about Tumen and Kalim, I agree that you have to work hard to come up even with an inner logic for Tumen and Kalim, but we're going to do that. But you don't have to work so hard, you know, to come up with inner logic for, you know, the Petorish Harabim of Shem V'Regel, right? Or, this is what we're going to talk about, or begin to talk about more today, or the difference between Tam and Muad and Karen, right? Especially, as we'll discuss, if you take, you know, the Gemara discussion literally about Cheskas Shimor and Lav Cheskas Shimor, right? We'll elaborate in just a minute. So if you're taking this view about the homogenization, you know, the generic character of all of the Avos, and then most of the things turn into or end up being, you know, might have beens, would have beens, or that they have some narrow application, Xeris HaKasuv, maybe a little more, if everything is Xeris HaKasuv in particular, that is a very critical approach to understanding all of these demons. Okay. And the exact opposite approach is the approach of saying that the Gemara, and again, I think it all, you know, it all hinges, as I've said, I'm just repeating what I've said, I'm just putting it in stronger terms, maybe. It all depends on how you read the Mishnah, believe it or not, right? Because the Mishnah starts off, you know, lo reze, lo reze, lo reze, you know, nizikin, not mazikin, hain, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, and then how does that square with the end of the Mishnah? Hatzad Hashava Shabahen. Right, which is the homogenization, you know, and generalization, you know, of it all. So if you take that other approach, so it depends on that Mishnah. I mean, there are a lot of lines in the Gemara that become, you know, fault lines for this issue or symptomatic of how you're going to interpret this issue. And of course, especially Heyomid Beis, when the Gemara said, no, we really can. You know, we can find a way to be memait some of the psukim, you know, in the Torah. If you've got Bor and you've got something else, you know, then you can, you know, you could save some dio and some klaf, right? You could do that. You know, the only thing is that you would not have known Hilchosei. Right? So there are two, you know, radically opposite extreme ways to read that Gemara, as we've said. And one is the way that Revelvel certainly reads it, but, you know, he wasn't the first. And that is that, you know, the thing to emphasize again, and now, in light of that Gemara, is the Seifa of the Mishnah, the Tzad HaShava. And the Reisha is, you know, L'Hilchoseim, and therefore everything is Xeris HaKasuv. And, you know, basically everything does work in the same way. It doesn't still tell us fully, you know, how it works, by the way. Meaning, in the end of the day, if we've correctly identified some of the features, and they're all very, you know, either complex or hard to pin down or subtle, right? In other words, there's Shmira, you know, there's Bailus, there's the Maisa Hezek and the connection to being to the Maisa Hezek, there's either being Yotzer or Machzik, you know, a Mazik. If those are factors, again, even in the Tzad HaShava, the Mishnah itself, Darko Lahazik, Mamoncha, Ushmirasa Nalecha, right? Never mind, Kolsha Hicharti, you know, as Kol Shechavti Bishmiraso Hicharti is Nisko, which is, you know, obviously, you know, perfectly written, depending on what it means, in the second Mishnah, and other such statements. In the end of the day, if you ask the question, what is the nature of these, or what is the interplay between these factors in the mix of the generic Mazik, we still don't know. You know, is it more of a, you know, Bailus, is it more of a Maisa Hezek? more of a choser shmira, you know, we're not sure. I think it's even possible at the end of the day. I think this, you know, you'd have to really justify this. You know, again, we'll say it this way. Default, it's likely, if you really believe in generic mazik, you know, that whatever the answer is, it's the same in all cases. I think there's an outside chance, when we get to it, I'll try to explain it, you know, that maybe you could argue, maybe just need, you know, if these factors are not totally distinctive, but they're all different ways of, you know, of crossing a certain threshold. So what you might say is the common denominator is the crossing of that threshold in terms of your connection and involvement. If you're involved in a certain kind of a way, like if your, you know, intense, you know, involvement level is more than, you know, 6.2 on the Mazik scale here, you know, relative to other factors or whatever, then you're chayiv, right? But it can be very fluid. So even if you take the view, I'm trying to find a way of navigating the evidence that the tzad hashava is ikar, right? Even in the dalet avos nezikin, and at the same time there can still be some, you know, emphasis on the different emphasis on the factors. So then it would be that, you know, these are different factors. They all play a role in, you know, the contest of whether or not you're sufficiently mitzuref to this hezek or responsible for it. Or, you know, responsible for it, notwithstanding the fact that there is some other competition here, shor, you know, kol chacher meura bo, etc. And that puts you over the top. That might help you. We'll get back to it. More likely, if everything is one din mazik, then you know, it's the generic of all, not necessarily, you know, the combination, any combination that gets you over the, you know, the finish line. I happen to think that the, you know, again, in terms of neatness, elegance, you know, being a compelling argument, it's much better to say there's one mechayev. But I just think the evidence might be difficult, and that's why you might still need, maybe the combination of these things makes you a mazik, you know, but a little bit of choser shmira and a little bit of, kavanoso lahazik or and so on. So maybe. Anyways, that's one approach. The other approach is, you know, that when the Gemara said Lehil Chaseyem, that was its way of saying, you know, that we, you know, we have different models. And again, that doesn't mean they have nothing in common. It doesn't mean that there isn't a second din. It doesn't mean that you can't have, you know, hybrid models. That's a separate question. But at minimum, it means that each of the shomrim that we have, you know, is possibly a different model with different mechayvim, and therefore the different dinim then are going to be much more connected. And then when you have hybrids and so on, you get the conclusions that we discussed. So those are the two big ways. I should add that Ravelvel's view finds support not only in some of those koros, but in some of the Rishonim's language as well. For example, the Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, and really it's a kind of a little implicit in Tosis, right? Already on the Mishnah, a number of Rishonim on the Mishnah already, you know, are bothered by the language. Again, Tosis here has a line. In the middle of Tosis, Divrei Masna Velo Zevedah Sheish Ben Ruach Kayim, Tosis says, Ubor lo rotza lishanos kodem eish. Everybody have that line? The imkain haba osi eish minei. Right? De kulo osi mibar v'chad mehanach. Kerabina begemar daf eimad beis. Vatana herich lahagdol Torah v'yadir. Okay, what does that mean? So per se, doesn't have to mean so much. Meaning if we put the order differently, right, then we would have kind of jumped the gun, you know, and revealed, you know, what gets exposed, you know, the major, you know, revelation of Hayomid Base, which is, aha, we could actually, you know, have derived certain things from the Tzad Hashav. Correct? Then Tosis is saying, but, you know, we didn't do that order because we wanted to go through this exercise, lahagdil Torah u'lahadira. Oh, So there are two ways, really, you know, to explain what he means by that. The exact two ways that we're talking about. Right? One is that, you know, Ravelvel's right. And there's a Tzad HaShava, and that's really the Yesod. And the other, you know, the only reason to write the psukim, every one of them, Hayom and Beis, is L'Hilchos Seyem. And L'Hilchos Seyem is a trivial, you know, peripheral part of the whole perspective here. You know, and so why, you know, why would we hold that out till Hayom and Beis? You know, not everybody's learning Daf Yomi or, you know, whatever. So it takes you a while to get to Hayom Beis sometimes, right? I mean, we're learning Beis and Vav, Beis to Vav all at the same time. But, you know, otherwise it would really take us a long time. So, you know, why would you do that? So the answer is, you know, the Lahagil Torah L'Adira. Okay. And I would say here, Lahagil Torah L'Adira has two meanings too. One, of course, is the one that I don't like so much, and that is like, you know, you know, kind of it, you know, the schar limud. You have to work a little bit, you know, from tzara agra. So I don't like that so much. I mean, I like the idea of from tzara agra, but I don't think that that's what Lahagil Torah L'Adira means. So I think at minimum it means that by struggling with these questions, you know, we've been forced to, like, assess, you know, the different factors, you know, and to think about them and how different they might be, and maybe they're echoes of that, even, you know, if you end up thinking that there's a Tzad HaShava Shabbat. Right? The other way to look at it is to go, you know, a giant step further, you know, in a kind of Ish Halacha kind of a way, and to say that, you know, in Ochanami you can derive all these things from each other. You know, but the end of the day, we're not just interested in knowing what is Chayiv Behezek and what is not Chayiv Behezek. We're really interested in figuring out, you know, the reason, the Mechayivim, and the Hilchos Seyem teach you that. So actually, we're emphasizing, you know, the first part of the Mishnah, not the second part of the Mishnah, not to get credit or even to have struggled, you know, for some potential echo benefit, but, you know, for the real thing. So it's interesting that the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I mean, the fact is that the Mishnah is weighted heavily on the Loharei, Loharei, Loharei side. Again, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I think there are other Lishonos and Rishonim as well. It's quoted in Shittim Kuvetzes, it's here also in the back of the book. I think I forgot to bring my Shittim Kuvetzes. Anybody have that line? The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is much more explicit about this same. In Tosfos, it's one line, you can miss it completely. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz has a much stronger question, and as you know, a much. One second. Here, and I'll base him out. Vim Tomar, Kima de Yochel Asuye Kulu. This is Dibra Maskil. Yeah. Lohare Ashor Karea Mave. In the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Kima de Yochel Asuye Kulu Mibor, Michad Mehanuch, Kedisa Begamara. Below Nichtavu Kula Inoch Ella Lilchosem can appearish Bigamara Lo Mishum Ditsrichi. Ah, okay. Imkain Lama Herich Bimishnasenu, the Kamar Lohare, the Mashma de Itstrichel and Lichtav the Kula Mishum de Chadle Yalef Michavre, below Emesu, the Lo Itstrichi, Elchosem can appreciate. This is a much more forceful, you know, version of this question that Tosis is kind of, you know, sloughing off in just, you know, one line. That's what I'm saying. Tosfos isn't so committed to the question, therefore I'm not so sure what he means by the answer. But Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is basically saying, why should the Mishnah be written in misleading language when, you know, we're going to find out in four Dapim, right, that the whole, you know, three quarters of the Mishnah is pretty trivial, you know, to the real issue. That could be written by Ravelvel, maybe, right? Yeshlomar de lohera chatane elamishum yagdil Torah v'yadir. V'ha de kamar begamar lasiyei mai lamishum lohare kamar de lo lasos tzadashav el kaboy me tzadashav el tani b'sefer lasiyei mai. Okay, so it sounds like this is a perspective that is saying, you know, that the L'Hilchos Seyem isn't the main event here. L'Hilchos Seyem is, you know, peripheral, albeit an important fact. Similarly, and again, you know, we can go through all these, but we're not going to because we have to move on. In the, it's interesting, the Rimi Gash, the Tshuva of the Rimi Gash that Ravelvel quotes, He could have quoted it more extensively to really demonstrate his bigger point. What he quotes it for is to show, again, he is of the opinion, as we discussed, that the two views, the Rosh and the Yesh Omrim, he believes the Rosh, and the Bali, against the Bali Tosas, he believes the Rosh, the Ra'ah, the Rimigash, against the Bali Tosas, right? That's a reason that he quotes. He wants to quote another example where, and he quotes from this Rimigash, this Tshuva, which says that according to Rav, what's the debate between Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara? We have it in a few places in the Gemara here, right? On Gimel, on Hay, on Vav, namely, if you have a boar, if you have a hybrid boar, and it's a case of lo afkarinhu, right? So Shmuel is okay with still with that being a boar, all things being equal. We have to talk about this more fully, obviously. And Rav thinks it's more sure, or let me say it this way, according to the Gemara, according to Rav, it's sure, right? So from the Rimigash says that the debate between Rav and Shmuel, in the end of the day, is not really a debate about how you learn these cases. It's really a debate about which Av in the hybrid is the dominant party, and that the Nafkamina is that the dominant Av is Koveya Legabe Hilchosei. So according to Shmuel, if you have a boar shore, according to Shmuel, it's a boar shore. And therefore there's a patur of Caleb. And according to Rav, it's a shore boar, right, or a shoreish, whatever it happens to be, and therefore there's no patur Caleb or Tamun. There should be Tam and more, whatever. You get into those other issues and questions. That's what Ravelva quotes the Rimigash for, to demonstrate that the Rosh's view, right, is a common view. But the truth is, if you look at the language of the Rimigash, he says much more than that. He really articulates the view that notwithstanding the Hilchoseim, the Tzad HaShava is intended to teach you not only what you would have thought, which is that you dilute all of the characteristic kulas and chumras, because you trade them off against each other, you play them off against each other. Tchilaso lehezek, kavana lehoid, darko lelech lehazik. All those things, none of them are really factors in chiyuv and ptur, because each one proves that the other one is not. So atzad hashava shebahen is the mechayiv for even the Dalet Avos Hazikin. He actually says that. So I'm just going to read you the line. Since I was being a little bit, critical, and I'm staking out what I think is an equal, if not maybe even more compelling view of how to read the Gemara, so we have to also be fair, right? Also, I'm trying to, keep Moshe happy, as well. So, Afagav the Bain Kichash Vesle Bor Ubein Chashus Lishor Hokonafik Dina B'mehatzad V'chayavin Afil Hachi Nafkemino L'chiyuve Be'odom V'keilin Di Chashus U'dechayvinu Makwas Bor Lo M'chayiv Odom V'keilin. This is Kuf Ayin. What he said it was Kuf Ayin Dalet. Yeah. Afil Hachi Nami L'chiyuve V'keilin Di Chashus U'dechayvinu Makwas Bor Lo M'chayiv Odom V'keilin Di Chashus U'dechayvinu Makwas Shor Shu'um Mamona M'chayiv Odom V'keilin. That's the part that he quotes. But, the bigger idea, comes from the original question, which is, actually, very interesting, right over Velvel also. When Rav says shor and Shmuel says bor, he says, kakashale, hamrinan, hainu shor, right? Behem bilse the shor kayalifla. Same thing that Bali Tosas were bothered by. Like, according to Rav, who says shore, right, which shore? Like, we have three shore candidates, right? Karen, Shane, and Regal. Imi Karen, Mala Karen Shekin Kavanasa Lahazik. Imi Shein, Mala Shein Shieshana Lazeka. Imi Regel, Mala Regel Shekin Azeka Matsui. Right? Imi Kula Yalif Lai, Bame Atzad Udi Yalif. Well, the Kaman, Kamina Atzad Shavahem Shavahem Lasui Mai. So it sounds like we're not saying that now. Vila Rav Hainu Shor, Dishmamina Dalav Me Atzad Shavahem Udi Yalif Lai. That was the original question that the Rimigash came to answer. According to Rav, who says, sure, how can you have sure if you don't have any characteristics of sure? Right, you have this Avonos Akino Maso, Shelo Ifkiru, you know, and so on. Right? And, you know, it's, you know, it damages after it's Nach. So you want to say it's not Bor, great, but where's the Kavanah L'Hazik? Where's the Yesh HaNolaz? It's Avonos Akino Maso. Right, it's not a living being. There's no kavanah lahazik. Right, there's no hanala ezeko, and you know probably it's not particularly matsui that it's going to be mazik either. Certainly not according to the model of regel. So he says, I just don't. The question was, and it doesn't sound like it's just tzara shava. So basically, his answer is, yes, it's tzara shava. Because even the avos themselves are tzad hashaveh, because what the tzad hashaveh is showing you is what you might have thought were, you know, the responsible factors for the chiyuv, they all get neutralized out, right? And that's really what he says. So if you read the piece here, it really is a very strong raya for Rav Velvel's whole approach. So what's the answer to the question? The answer is that is the tzad hashaveh. That's what we mean by the tzad hashaveh. You could have a tzad hashaveh for all of avos hazikin, or you could have a smaller tzad hashaveh just within the world of shor, and that's also going to give you, you know, the same result. What the Gemara meant was, is this a tzad hashaveh just through shor, or do we need a bigger tzad hashaveh of all of the mazikim, you know, together? But once we know, this is all just, again, epistemological. How do you know it? You know, but in the end, it's all generic mazik. What he's saying is that tzad hashaveh of the Mishnah is applying, even according to Rav and to Shmuel, and the only nafkamina is the question of the particular Hilchoseim that is going to go with it. So this is, again, much more than he quoted, and much more important than what he quoted. The truth is, there still is a little bit of a difference between the Rimigash and the Chidush HaGriz. In his piece here, at one point he takes on the question of Shor. He notes that Rashi, again, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to get on to other things, but he says that he says that Tosus correctly says that Rav's Shor is Karen. Everybody remember that piece? Towards the end of the piece, I have it here. Yeah. Vinei betosus kasud hoda avonos akino matzot shaloev giren habis Shor l'rav hainu Karen. The ishein v'regel halo hayu p'turim b'shus harabin. Right, this is a quote of Tosas. Tosas basically says that Rav's Shor is not Shein V'Regel, it is Karen. If it's Karen, right, it should bring with it, you know, the result of the Chiluk of Tam and Muad, that's its Hilchosein. The answer is that doesn't exist in outside of Bali Chai. For the Bali Tosis, by the way, what emerges from that, we'll talk about it, we'll get to it more, but just to be aware right now, and we're going to talk about the parallel to that in just a second. Can you have a Karen without Kavanas Alahazik? Right? Basically what the, you know, if you believe in generic, you know, a conclusion for everything, even for the Dalit Ovis and Zikin, so then the, unless it's again, what I, my 1B, the other way to say it, which is, you need something, you know, you need a certain amount of you know, involvement, you know, or mazik, in order to push you over the line. They don't care where it comes from. You know, different factors could contribute in different, you know, amounts. If you say that, fine. But if you say the generic, in the end of the day, kavanos alahazik isn't going to play much of a role. Right? So, if you believe in a generic, so having an avonos akino maso, according to Rav, that is Karen, isn't the end of the world. Right? But if you think that, either for Hilchosein alone, or for anything else, that kavanos alahazik is critical, then avonos akino maso is a disaster. Right? Okay. Moreover, can you have a Karen, we'll talk about this more when we get to Karen Mechuberes, hopefully today, if not Sunday, can you have a Karen which doesn't undergo the process of moving from a Tam to a Muad? Right? That's also the question of Nachash, I told you to look at it, if you get, we'll get to it. You know, to what extent is the transition from Tam to Muad part of the definition of Karen? Right, according to Tosis, that at least according to Rav, right, that Karen applies to Avodas Akino Maso, Shelo Efkiro, and it's Karen, so it's Karen Bali Kavanolahazik, sorry, it's the back in Shavuos, and it's still Karen, despite the fact that there's no Mavar, there's no transition, unless you think that there only needs to be a transition, you know, for something that can have the potential, you know, of Talmud. Okay. Anyways, Rav Belbel himself says that he doesn't like Tosas, understandably. L'chura harnira, na'avagav derav sfirulei dekol mamonu esra b'liyos b'chlal shor, mikomokom homiyal kapanim d'lo shayich b'vavon esakinu maso, lo shame karen, v'lo shame v'regel. The shame karen tolui b'kavonoso lahazik. Now him, again, understand, for a velvel, it's not the mechayev of tashlumen. Right? One could have said, for me, you could say, it's the mechayev of tashlumen. You want to emphasize the ratio of the Mishnah, and the Hilchos Seim is symptomatic, then it's also part of the mechayev of the tashlumen of Karen. Revelvel means in terms of Hilchos Seim, right? The shame Karen is totally bekavanos alahazik. The shame v'regel, right, b'yeshan ala zeka, the zeka matzui. This is a very important argument. Could you have Shane, Regel, you know, and Karen without their characteristics? So what he's saying is, you don't need this explanation of Ein Tam, you know, umuad, you know, ela lebalei chayim. Because really what we're doing, what we're saying in the case of Rav, is that the din of shor, it's not Karen, it's not Shane, it's not Regel. Right? It is, you know, mibein kula, it's tzadashava. But what's fascinating is that the piece of Elbo, which mostly, I'm sorry, the piece of the Rimigash, which I think really strongly supports this whole approach, or articulates this approach, better way to say it, you know, much earlier, assumes that according to Rav, even though you aren't, and again, the first question that the question that the Rimigash was addressing was exactly this question. How can you talk about Shor in the absence of Kavan Elohoid, you know, Kavan Elohazik, Hanala Zeka and Matsui. The same question that Ravelvel is asking, you know, Tosis, the Shoel asks to the Rimigash. The Rimigash's answer is, you're learning out from Sada Shava. But the same Rimigash is telling you that the, you know, that whether it's Shor or whether it's Bor, there still will be the Nafkamina, you know, for Caleb. Probably the Rimigash did need the idea of Ein Tam Umuad Ela Lebalei Chai. So that's a small difference between them. Anyways, this perspective, this is the perspective of Rav Belbel, and this is where you could certainly argue. You could totally understand that according to his view, the Rush is far more, now let me make this clear also, and then I'll take the question, the Rush is far more attractive than the other view. And both the view of the Rush and the other view are both more attractive if they are fixed. Okay, by which I mean, if you think that Lehilchos Seyam is peripheral and that Tzad HaShaveh is the key, right? So the idea that, then the Lehilchos Seyam, you're going to try to narrow as much as possible. And that's why, everything depends on the shame bor, shame Asia, shame Karen, etc. And therefore the dominant, as opposed to, trying to figure out the correlation, between the tchunot and the totsaot, or the hilchos, the hilchoseim, is not going to be particular. Again, let me make it clear. Even if you say what Rav Elbel says, you could say both views, and you could be more flexible. I'm just trying to show, as an inclination, you're more likely to prefer the Rush, which he does. You're more likely to see the Rush as a fixed din, meaning if there is, either it's generic legamri, right, or there is a single definition, right? It's going to be not impossible, but less attractive for you to think that you have a hybrid shame, is what I'm saying. Because the shamos, anyways, have a very limited meaning. And they're all gzeres hakasu, so we want to, our inclination is to see them, limited as much as possible. And that's the reason why you're also likely to view the Balei Tosfos view, as he calls it, as being a din in yalfusas, right? And also not being very attractive, as opposed to being a din of fusion or a din of the tchunot, affecting the Hilchos Seyam. Exactly the other possibilities that I discussed last time. All this is going to flow from the perspective that he adopts. And as such, you're also going to end up, thinking that this affects Ein Kiyotze Bahem, which he does, Karen Mechubar, which ends up being a generic Mechayev, and so on. Yeah, questions, and then I'll move on. Yeah, Eli Malach.
General
matzah
of the Mishnah and the more specific
matzah
that
Rashi. Sure. Right, I think there is, and that's what I was kind of trying to say a little bit.
Where would that leave you, that approach within the Havmin on Ham Bet, where you learn all the rest of the Avos from Bor and Shane? Does that mean that it's a more specific matzah, all these subsequent Avos would either have Ptur Kalim or Ptur Shirab?
Say that again, last point.
The, at least within my understanding, the matzah that's attempted to be constructed.
The matzah of Hayim Beis?
Yeah. Is from, rather than all the others, it's from
Bor
and something else, and that follows it there. Right. Being that would be a more specific matzah, within that understanding that you're trying to say, the gosh, would the following others then also have either the tour feeling more ashamed, depending on whether it was dominated by...
He seems to think that, again, that the Ma'atzad proves that none of the factors of the individual avos is koveya legabe chiyuv and patur, right? And then he also, like Rav Elbel, so he takes the view. However, he does think that there usually is a dominant shame, again, he doesn't call it this, that's his explanation of the... He's saying Rav and Shmuel both agree that everything is b'me'atzad. Right? Whether it's b'me'atzad of everything, he seems that in the piece he goes, easily between the question of a ma'atzad of shor and bor, or eish and bor, or shor and eish, and his discussion and understanding of Hayom and Beis. He basically thinks they're the same. So it sounds like in all cases he thinks, like the Griz, that the Mechayiv, Tashlumin, for Tashlumin, is Darko Lahazik, and Shmiroson Olecha, and Mamoncha, or whatever that is, and that the other factors are not relevant to that. But it also seems to me, reading the piece, that he also always... requires or always assumes that there is a dominant shame, or at least in Rab and Shmuel that there's always a dominant shame, and that there would be hilchoseim nafkaminas. The idea that maybe there would be a something that you've learned from shore, but all three shores, let's say, and therefore would have zero hilchoseim, that doesn't seem to be correct in the Rimi Gash. That's the point I'm trying to make. Right? Is that what you're asking, or?
If we were to accept the Havamina of Ham Beck, would that...
What do you mean the Havamina?
Yeah, the Havamina is going to be only more than one other Hav.
Kilchosein.
Then we derive Kilchosein either from Shor, or whichever one...
No, I mean, all the Gemara is really saying is that, you know, there was a way to get chiyuvim for everything without all the parshios. But every parsha, you know, adds to our information. The question is, what we're discussing is, it adds to our information, and it doesn't change the picture of a general mechayev, or it adds to our information... And therefore said the difference, if it wasn't for the parshios, we would have had a general mechayiv. The information shows us that we have, you know, four mechayivim, or more, right? Or four mechayivim and also a generic mazik, and so on. Those are the two ways to read the Gemara. Okay? But either way, the hilchoseim apply to every single parsha, because our hilchoseim of Bor, our hilchoseim of Shor, and our hilchoseim of Esh. Whatever the two that we need for the Tzad HaShavah, they're there also for hilchoseim. Once they're written the way that they're written. Because they're not written in a way that underscores that they're more, you know, important than the others. So everything is written, lehilchoseim, in this new reality, basically. And once that's true, the question is, okay, so the hilchoseim are a dominant factor. They, you know, divide everything into different mechayivim, to some extent at least. You can still discuss, you know, how different are the mechayivim. You know, and what happens, you know, can you say midda? I think that we're inclined to, you know, to look at those questions based on this issue. But, you know, how different are they, even if they're different? Right. So that still remains a question. Yeah?
The grids have to hold against Tosfos' idea of Ezekiel being Nova Kasavitora.
Being what?
Nova Kasavitora.
That's a good question. Because it's really more Misvara and Tzad HaShavah, I guess it also depends on what you think Milva, you know, Kasa Batora is, and whether or not, if still some of the information, I mean, not necessarily, it could still be one Mechayev, and that Mechayev could still be somewhat Mechudash, couldn't it?
From source.
What?
Like with a Machor, with a distinct Machor.
I thought you were asking me, if you hold that there's that it's a svara, so then it should be like tashlume milva,
right.
You know, because of the contrast that Tosis uses, for example. That's not milva subhatara. The answer is it can be a svara, but a svara that is about extra responsibility, not just quid pro quo, right? I mean, I hear what you're saying. If you hold, like, different b'chaibim, so it's really easier to explain, you know, because it isn't just... Okay. Although, again, even that, I'm not sure in either direction that it matters. I think the question of Milvak Supa Torah is not so much, you know, how much Gezeres HaKasav, how much Svara, as much as whether the Svara is something that is pragmatic... Right, and is accessible, you know, to any culture or legal system, right? Because it's just, you know, quid pro quo, or whether the svara is something that flows, you know, also from the framework of achrayus that we have, you know, as a tashtit, you know, in dine Torah. And as long as it's that second, then I still think it's milvak supa Torah. I think in both directions. Let's say I said there were four mechayvim, but they're all very svaradic for each one. Meaning, of course, a boar in any culture is going to be chayiv. I don't think this is true. But because it's tkilas asiyasa lehezek. And of course, you know, an esh, you know, let's leave esh out of it. Well, you understand what I'm saying, right? So that you have the same question. First, I think your question's a good question. But I think the answer is that these are two different questions. One is how much it's just a function of pragmatic logic. You know, it's muvan meilav, put it that way. The other is, is this something, which is a function of kedusha or gzeiras hakasuv? And it could still be gzeiras hakasuv even if the tzad hashaveh, is generic. It's a generic gzeiras hakasuv or a generic davar shebikdusha. And it could be still be svara, even if there are four mechayiv. If each mechayiv is just muvan meilav, in human terms, even without there being some sort of, framework, religious framework, spiritual framework. So I think it's a really good question, and I think that is the correct answer. Okay, now let's continue. So, having said all of this, I just want to flesh out a little bit more, because this is going to affect our next question. The question of Palganiska Knossa, right, and or Mamona, the question of Tam and Muad. Because I said before, if you want to say that Tamun and Kalim are Gzeiras HaKasuv, right, and even then we should try to figure out if there's some inner logic, what it's connected to, that's one thing. But on the surface, when it comes to the question of Tam and Muad, right, it's somewhat less obvious that simply Gzeiras HaKasuv simply flows from the shame, and so on. Right? And a little bit part of this question is, again, Avano Sakino Maso can be Karen, without Kavano Lahoy. I want to make I want to suggest something for Tosas, although it doesn't work so well for the other Bali Tosas. But just in terms of this issue. So what I really mean by this in particular, or what do I mean by it, Ariel, in particular? Why do I say that shame? Why do I say that Palganiska, that Tam in particular, is not obviously a Gzeiras HaKasuv. And what, for what reason? What is it if it's not a Gzeiras HaKasuv? Yeah, why? Exactly. So, and what's the right Hebrew words to quote? Sam shvarim, whether or not, l'shmira kaimi, or not. Right? So what I want to bring out here, and this is why, again, I'm sorry it takes so long, but each of these issues needs to be explored. How literally do we take, sam shvarim, l'shmira kaimi, or lo kaimi? Again, now we have to talk about Palganiska Knossa, Palganiska Mamona, which we need to talk about anyway, as we talk about the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, and especially as we start talking about Karen, Mechubar, right? So what I want to just to make it clear, hopefully, is the following. One could have thought, right, if you take literally the Gemara, that especially if you say Palganiska Knossa, but even somewhat if you say Palganiska Mamona, that to say that, the din of Tam and Muad is Gzeiras HaKasuv, and that it depends on a shame, is Tamua Bioter. Right? Well, let's take for the moment Palganiska Knossa. Start with that. Right? So if you take it Kipshuto, like if it means what it says, so what does it say, Azriel? Wait, Palganiska's Knossa. That's a line of the Gemara in Daf Tezvav. You should be chayiv zero.
And then we're such a big kunis.
There's a knas min haTorah to make you chayiv half. And the reason you should be chayiv zero is because it's becheskas shimur, which means, let's take it literally. What does it sound like it means literally?
Like,
and that's if it's a cause rather than a description of a formal result. I'm already giving away what might need to be said, but the pashtus, right, because we don't look for trouble, we just always find it. What would you think it means? It's an umdana. I mean, there's an umdana out there they show that there's some problems with that. Right? There's an umdan out there that says that no one expects a mild-mannered, you know, docile, you know, killer bull, you know, to actually do anything. Right? And therefore, when it happens, it's, let's call it mishuna. But moreover, the bigger point, let's say, just to make it the easiest for the moment, is that, you know, there's no choser shmira. Let's say for a moment that the mechayev of shmiras alecha is definitely a factor, right? So whether we're saying, oh, you're, you know, you did what you were supposed to do, we, you know, we don't expect more from you on a shmira level. So you're potter, your onus. Or the mechayev is choser shmira. You know, you didn't do a choser shmira, right? Well, how would you think that this cool, calm, and collected, mild-mannered bull was going to do this, right? And if he's not a bull, even more so, right? Or whether it's maybe it's a din in the tziruf to the, between you and the ma'isa hezek, whatever it is, or what makes it, whatever it is, a ma'isa hezek as opposed to like a surprise, you know, something that happened, you know, without a label. I'm giving you a lot of food for thought. Whatever it is, you know, it's becheskas shimur. It's like it broke, literally, to take it that way. It's like it broke out of the barn, you know, after, you know, all good, you know, precautions were taken. And so whether it's ones, the lack of mechayev, the tziruf, the shame, whatever it is, you don't have that in palganiska knasa. Okay. Is that, if that's really what it is, right? So that's Xeris HaKasuv. And that depends on a shame, Lekula or Lechomra. Right? You might think that that would apply in cases of things that are not Becheskas Shmira. Or you would think that, you know, despite the fact that something is Becheskas Shmira, right, that nonetheless it shouldn't matter. Like, it's very strange. Like, really very strange. Right? If you say palgan iska mamona, you have an opposite problem. What does it mean?
You should be chayv everything.
You should be really chayv everything. Right? And chaser rachmana, a little bit of extra, you know, you gotta get a break. Okay, whatever that means. Right? So basically, the way to look at, there are two really two issues. Right, one question is what's behind it. You know, the stam shvarim becheskas shimur la becheskas shimur question. The second question is, again, how literal should we be taking the Gemara's formulations about what would have been and what is? So, for example, in the Knas case, what we're saying is, you're basically pata legamri, there's no nezek, or there's no hezek, or there's no mazik, right? You know, there's a Knas. And the way to look at it, again, in the extreme, but it's not an unfair extreme, it's pashtus of the Gemara, until you run into all sorts of other realities in many cases, is that this is a Knas like any other Knas. The fact that this knas is, you know, within, let's say, the chefta shel nezek, is irrelevant. It's coincidental. Or maybe it's not coincidental from a policy point of view, but put it this way. Palganiska knasa, according to this perspective, what motivates it is a very pragmatic, you know, consideration in Hilchos mazik, right? I mean, you don't have the means for a nezek, basically. Right, and let's say in the extreme for a moment, and what it also means in the end is that basically you're patur from Hilchos Niskei Mamon point of view, you're patur legamri, and the Torah imposed a knas for some reason. The only question you might want to ask yourself is, and this is of course, you know, the beginning of the pushback or the counterattack, is like, you know, and why did the Torah impose a knas if you didn't do anything wrong at all? But let's say for the moment, and we'll keep the extreme, you know, we can't fathom it, or we can fathom, it's a policy decision. It has nothing to do with the substance of the hezek, the nezek, the mazik, right, etc. A According to that view, Palganiska Knasa, right, is a svara, and the knas is like any other knas in Kol HaTorah Kuli. And the fact that it is, a fact that it is less than the full nezek, it looks to be a function of it in terms of being 50%, as opposed to being like an arbitrary amount, right? That is kind of irrelevant. It's misleading. Okay. Of course, if you take that view, when you turn to the other position and you say Palganiska Mamona, right, you have to contend with something. Namely, David, what do you have to contend with?
Why you're chayiv anything at all.
They're the pressures to explain why you're not fully chayiv. But I'm saying before we get to that, and we want to talk about that too, right? We have to contend with just a very basic question of Rami.
How did you get to the opposite extreme?
Yeah, how do you get to two opposite extremes if the issue is, b'cheskas shimur kaimi? Right? Like, what happened? What happened to this onus? What happened to this, lacking the basic, means of mazik nizak, nezek, right? Like, where did that all go? So again, if you want to be, completely extreme about the whole thing, there's some machlokas, either in Metzius, about this question, whether Karen is, b'cheskas shimur or not. That's very hard to say. Right? Or there's some argument about the threshold of what constitutes b'cheskas shimur. That's easier to say. Let's say Karen is hovering somewhere, in a quantitative, qualitative spectrum, somewhere near the line of cheskas shimur. Right? And, one mandamar holds it's a little above, and the other mandamar holds it's a little below. Okay. That's not the way to say it. Let's say there is, a debate about what the threshold of cheskas shimur is, and, it's a pretty, small, spectrum. And the question is where to draw the line. And that would be a second way to explain the machlokas. In the end of the day, who really cares? Because it's a legal question, right? And that legal question, of course, actually, that might help you a little bit to explain, the phenomenon of, knas, or the phenomenon of chos rachmanale. Because, we still have the question, which is harder to contend with in the extremes, which is, why? What's the reason for the policy? Even if it's just policy, how come chasa rachmana, ale dafka palganiska, if it's really mamona gemura? And how come, the Torah decided to impose a knas in all cases of nezek or hefsed, dafka, even though there's no maisa, there's no mazik, there's no nezek, there's no, and so on and so forth, right? So why did they decide to impose it in this particular case? Right? If you want to say that the threshold of what constitutes, an obligation of shmira, something that's omed lehezek, something that is considered a mazik or an ezek, if you want to say that threshold is very, very close, so it'll help us to explain, why the Torah, intervened here. Either way, the Torah intervened here. They intervened l'kula or they intervened l'chumra. And frankly, if you say it that particular way, maybe the intervention, is very similar, in one respect. It's on one side of the line or another. This is very close, and therefore, chasa rachmana, even though you're over. And this is very, close, and therefore, even though you're not over, but you're getting very, very close, and therefore, or it's pretty close enough that you should, you know, we should really create a policy. Okay. If you say those things, so then you can maintain the two extremes, which is that polganiska knasa means that you are legamri patur, right? Because it's not becheska shimur. And polganiska mamona means legamri that you're chayiv, and it's just, you know, chasa rachmana. It's an exception to that rule. Okay. Now, is the argument about polganiska mamona, polganiska knasa a fundamental argument? Again, if it's an assessment, yes, if it's a practical question, you know, how to, you know, how, what the percentages are and how you calculate them, certainly not. And even if it's a question about where you, if it's a question of where to draw the line and what constitutes keska shimur, that might be something that also has conceptual implications. In other words, maybe depending on, you know, what kind of shmira you're obligated, you are obligated to shmira meula or shmira pechusa, right? Is the role of shmira that it's a ptur onus? Or is the role of shmira, if the shmira is a ptur onus, that might be different than triggering that, might be different than, you know, a choser shmira, which is a mechayiv. Okay? Maybe, you know, it's kaimi enough, you know, that it's not considered choser shmira as a mechayiv, right? But it's not shamur enough quite that, you know, your mamon, you know, that did this damage, that you should be pater mishamonis. Then, the argument of polganiska mamona, polganiska knasa, right, ends up being, or the question of how you know, where to draw the line and the threshold, right, ends up being a question about the nature of the mechayev. Right. I'm giving the example of shmir, it could be other things, right? You know, in the mix of you know, the mazik, the chepta shel nezek, you know, the relation between the bailim, you know, the, again, the shmira, the bailus, the, you know, the maisa hezek, in the relationship between those three things, right, there might be different perspectives on something that is hovering close to the border, is what I'm trying to say. Oh. Another perspective. And the truth is, once we're saying, you know, this idea, namely, it's not a machlokas in mitzvahs. It's not just a machlokas where the line is, you know, that's unrelated to anything else, but that where the line is depends on, you know, the mechaibim of nezek itself. Once you say something like that, so, you know, then you also might want to say within this, I'm just trying to build it, that polganiska mamona, called polganiska knasa, are more than policy. Maybe. You don't have to say it yet. That's what you might say is, this is not a coincidental knas, and that there's some niske mamon aspect of, some shame niske mamon, some shame miktsas tashlume hanezek. The knas here is that even though on a certain level, from a certain perspective, maybe from the, you know, real fundamental perspective, right, you are patur, right, but you're also not complete. There are some factors that are mazik, you know, connected that you did violate, and therefore on the knas level, you're mechuyev, chatzi, something. You're not patur. You're not chayev, but you're not patur. That expresses itself, you know, in chatzi nezek and not in nezek shal. And similarly, on the other side of it, it's going to be coming closer now, obviously, what you might say is, even though there's still a big difference between saying something is a knas, you know, and that's why you're chayev, or something is, you know, chayev and you're potter because chas rachmana, it's still coming from opposite ways and still qualitatively different, perhaps, but the chas rachmana is also not a coincidence. What we're saying in chas rachmana is, listen, you pass the threshold. You know, from the perspective of, you know, mamoncha, which is hizik, let's say you're a chayiv. But we wouldn't say that Choser Shmira contributed here. So maybe the Hezek here, you know, isn't your Hezek, right? And it's maybe not even the Tziruf of the shore and your Hezek. Maybe it's Betoras Bailim on the Hezek of your Behemoth. It's a bank account thing. And because of that, it's the first time, and it's qualitatively that kind of a Hezek, right? So, you know, we look at it, you know, Chos Rachman Ale. It's not just policy. The policy, just like the Knas, may reflect something real, and therefore it may even be a different kind of Knas. Maybe the Chos Rachman Ale, you know, is a kind of a, you know, not just a matir, but a you know, a reflection of some level of patur. Right. Then the gap between Palganiska Mamona and Palganiska Knasa is considerably lessened, obviously, if you take this view. But also then what we mean by, we're not dealing with, you know, peripheral or extraneous, you know, chiyuv or a peripheral or extraneous you know, mitzas ptur. We're dealing with a mitzas chiyuv or a mitzas ptur, right, that depending on Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knasa, that reflects the substance of, you know, a of the quality of, probably not the Nezek, but of the Maisa Hezek, of the role of the Bailim, of the role of Choser Shmira, as the case may be. Yeah.
Could one bring a riot to this last view from the Bali Philosophers to say that in the case of Tzad Tamos and Koma Omedas, the Tzad Tamos, you still think Hatsi Nezek or Tzad Tamos Shabo, but you pay as a Mamon, even the Mandamos as part of the Nasa?
Maybe. We'll get to we'll talk about it. I think there are a lot of indications, although Bali Tosis and other places, I think, do take the more extreme view. But that would be a very good right. Anytime you find the bridging and the merging of the two, I think that's a good example of it. Okay. Now, the truth is that one could go a step further. That is a radical step. Okay. So what's the step further? The step further is to say, or is to further kind of downgrade, okay, but maybe you don't need to do this completely. Okay. The more radical view would be to say, let me say it this way, that the din of Palganiska Knasa, Palganiska Mamona, Cheska Shimur, Lav Cheska Shimur, right? Right, till now, in this last iteration, you know, we've you know, raised the question of a kind of, number one, that reflects different, maybe, mechaivim of the role of different mechaivim. Try to explain that, both in terms of shmira or shmira's impact on the connection to the Maisa Hezek and so on and so forth. Right. Well, right. But we're still working with at least Becheska Shimur, Stam Becheska Shimur, Stam Shlo Becheska Shimur as you know, as causal factors, let's say. Perhaps one could go further. Let me say this. And as long as one is dealing with them as causal factors, even though this last approach, you know, already the second approach, and certainly the last approach even more, you know, is kind of blurring, you know, the gap between them and also, you know, the absoluteness of, you know, chayev bat, you know, pater bat, you know, something it's Gamri, not a Nezek, something that is completely a Nezek. Now we're in territory of, you know, you could have this machlokas because there are different perspectives on the decisive single thing that definitely does or doesn't create that. That's a way of explaining the machlokas between them. Right? And now I'm saying even further, moreover, maybe even each one kind of acknowledges and gives some recognition, right, to the other one. You don't have to say that, but you could. That's, call it 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. Again, I'm not trying to be complicated, but once you're in this path, kind of this is, we're trying to figure it out, right? But we're still dealing with Stam Shor and Becheska Shimur on some level as a factor. Good. Is it possible that Stam Shor Becheska Shimur has nothing to do with Umda? And it's a formal din, and it's a result of how you look at Tam and Muad. Okay. Meaning, if you look at, and that of course itself, how you look at Tam and Muad, is a fundamental question, right? Are you looking at it in terms of hefsed, likelihood of the hefsed? What are about the factors, in other words, of Mishuna, of Kavanos, or the combination of Kavanos and Lahazik, you know, and an initial Mishuna, right? What impact does that have on the way that you look at this Hezek? Again, the way that you look at Choser Shmira, the way that you look at the connection between the Maisa Hezek and the Bailim, like this is some rogue action, you know, this is something that just happened, you know, this is something, a rogue action of the Behema, so the Behema here, you know, became a, you know, an Eved Viyama. I don't mean it literally, but you understand what I mean? Right? What are we talking about? Or on the contrary, like, in the Maisa Hezek Gadol me, you know, Kavanoso, and this I'm going to say it right this time, Lahazik. Right? Is Mishuna a Maisa Hezek? No, maybe in Tam and Muad, what we really are interested in is assessing, right, the conditions of the Mechayev of Nezek, or Mazek, or Hezek. Right? And that itself impacts and is described by the expressions, right? Stam, Shor, Stam, you know, Stam Karen, you know, Lishmira Kaimi or not. Meaning, do we look at, you know, a Mishuna, Kavanoso Lahazik action, you know, as a, you know, an anticipated mazik or as a chalos mazik that needs shmira, or do we perceive it, you know, as a nebuch, you know, a you know a cause of a loss, you know, but some sort of an anomaly, again, it's either the rogueness of the behema, or some sort of an anomaly that happened. Can't guard against that. But if you look at it as a Maisa Hezek, you should be able to guard against that. But not on an umdana level, whether it requires your shmira or not, right? Not the percentages, or that, you know, small, you know, threshold thing that may or may not, or even more so, you know, the question of this kind of shmira, that kind of shmira, this kind of connection to that. What I'm saying is, how you look at, you know, this animal's status when it initially is mazik, before it develops a pattern, that gufa determines whether or not, you know, it's something which needs shmira or not. Okay, why am I saying that? Why would I say that? Because we have to deal with a lot of evidence. Number one, that would explain much better. It's a much more mechudash reading of the Gemara, obviously. And we're just reading it more like Rashi and the Beinu Tam, certainly. We'll get to that in a second. But it'll explain how there could be an argument. You know, Palgamiska Mamona called Palganiska Knasa. When it's Tam, Shvarim, Lashimur, Kaimi, or not, right? The answer is it's not about an umdana at all. It's not about a threshold. It's not. It is about the fact. It gets much closer. But it's still a giant leap. It's a result, not a cause, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. Moreover, this will help us deal with two sets of phenomena, right? Or three, depending on how you count them. The idea of applying the din of Tam and Muad to cases which seem to be completely disconnected from the question of Stam, Shvarim, Lishmira, Kaimi, or not. Including, by the way, some of the cases that we've been dealing with. Right? Is there some question whether Tam and Muad apply, you know, to Shane and Regel? Right? Or Bor, or Aish? What happened to Stam, Shvarim, Lishmira, Kaimi? So Bishlomo, if you want to say, we'll get to it in a second, Palganiska Mamona, maybe that would be one. You have to analyze this from a Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knossa, but according to the different perspectives that we're trying to understand in them now. What I'm saying is, essentially, what happened to the Umdana? Right? Or, in dealing with the whole massive topic of how something becomes a muad, right? And everything that goes into it. Right? But Pashtos, again, if you were going to take a strict umdana, stamshvar, you know, the shmira kaimi approach to everything. So number one, you'd have to say, again, Palganis Kamona, Palganis, so they're arguing about the Metzius. They're, you know, just like everybody now, they're figuring, they're finding out that all the scientific, you know, papers, they falsify their evidence. You know? So, you know, there's a, like, the statisticians have this tremendous disagreement how to calculate odds. Hard to believe, right? Okay, so then everything is Stam Shvarim Shmira Kaimi. You know? Okay, bye, fine. And what happens with Muad? How does something become a Muad? And then how does something become an Un-Muad? So one would think, if you're going to take a purely pragmatic approach, everything is an Umdana. We go to the statistician each time. And the guy who has the best, you know, algorithm, right, the best program, you know, he's the guy we want to follow. So they had a debate, you know, which algorithm, you know, they're a Papa school. What was the other Mandamar? Who? Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua, Shmi Omer Dov Rav Shem Omer. Right, each one ran a statistics outfit. Hard to believe. Right? Okay, so in determining when you become from a Tam to a Muad, right, we go back to the same statisticians. Right? Like, it's a little predictive. It's predictive behavior a little bit also. So it isn't just statistics. That's why I'm invoking the algorithm. Yeah? Okay. So, how do you become a Muad? Like, what patterns? Okay. Muad Adam, Muad the Behema, cross sections. You know, Bessie doesn't like this particular person. He doesn't like people on Sundays. He doesn't like people who wear bow ties. You know, specific, what is the analytics now? Is that the new thing? The analytics, right? It's all the analytics. So how far do you want to go with the analytics? You know, some of them are, you know, get a little bit, you know, peculiar, and, you know, probably become a little, somewhat irrelevant. So it's all a question, all these debates, how you become a muad, how do you unbecome a muad, right? Let's say, you know, now he's sleeping better, he got a little older, you know, he's being treated more kindly. You know, they stopped putting, you know, this vitamin in his feed. Right? How do we tell? Right? So again, I totally agree that there could be some range in all of this and some legitimate arguments, just like the analytic people and the, you know, and the statistic people. You know, and the people who predict election results, right? There's sometimes a tremendous range, and sometimes they're completely wrong. And sometimes they have different methodologies of how they exit polls. And, yeah, but, you know, then you have to have an algorithm for when the people lie in the exit polls. You know, why would they be more likely to lie? Why would be less likely? It can get very complicated. So you get different statistics. Sometimes the range, you would think that it would be within a very small percentage, right? But, you know, we have a lot of proof now that it could be massively wrong also. So, okay. So how do you become a Muad? And how do you lose your status of Muad and go back to becoming a Tam? Either way, all those Gemaras, all those Sugis are fascinating about, you know, behavior and you know, and so on and so forth. However, if you don't think that completely covers it, certainly on the level... Again, you don't have to say everything I'm saying here. It's certainly not the most extreme way to explain this. But it does seem that a good part of the story of how you become, how you transition from a tam to a muad, right, and how you go back from being a muad to a tam, and so on, it does seem that a good part of the story is also formalistic. It's the formal categories. Now, I'll give you one just, you know, off the drop of the head, a difficult one that's probably incorrect. Which one am I going to give that's probably incorrect right off the top of you know, of things, you know, that I should mention? Josh? You were so good the other day. I mean, you're okay, we can talk about Tosa. Yeah, the Tosas here, we'll talk about very quickly. Again, we're not going to be able to do all these sugyas right now, but this is the key to understanding them, right? If you're a muad la'adam ul-behema, that's you know, not you're talking about the first part of Tosas, you know, with the wider selection of, you know, cases, right? But let's say second, if we're going to say that already. Zero in on the second part of Tosas. What is Rabbeinu? What's his name? Menachem. Rabbeinu Menachem. How many Rabbeinu Menachems do you have in Tosas anyway? Not so many, right? So Rabbeinu Menachem's idea, which is what? If you're a muad la'adam with a behema, right? Even though the conditions for losing, how does it go? Your status as Rav Menachem d'Hachi Kamar. Muad la'adam shoyim muad l'kol. V'chazer bo mi behema. V'nishar muad la'adam, hava muad l'behema, v'chazorzun behema la'av chazara. Hava muad l'kol v'chazor me'adam, lo'ava muad la'adam, v'chazor da'adam chazarahi. Right? That's a fascinating... There are millions of these, not millions. Right? We have to collect all these things. Now, some of them could be explained on a behavioristic level. Right? You know, Bessie started this way, and then he got into even a worse pattern. You know, the psychology of breaking the pattern isn't necessarily the reverse of creating the pattern. Right? There's a little psychology, or a lot of psychology, in some of these behavioristic, you know, elements. Or, much, much, much easier to explain some of these phenomena, not all, if what we're really saying is, Karen, Tam, Muad, of course it's connected to behavior. Right, but only loosely, or that's only part of the story. A bigger part of the story, and that's why you might say, Stam Shvarim, to start off with, that's pragmatic. Once you, you know, get to the next stage, it becomes formalistic. I'm saying even the first stage may have formalistic elements, right? Meaning, once you have a Shem Muad, there's something called a Shem Muad, not so easy to shed the Shem Muad. It doesn't maybe predictively, behaviorally, you know, muad l'behema, muad l'adam are in a box. Let's say it's not this reverse, you know, psychological, you know, your therapy, you know, doesn't follow, you know, the order of your malady. Right? I think that's an interesting question. But let's say, no, we're taking a strict, we'll make up some school name for this, you know, everything is separate. Doesn't all merge and then become more difficult to separate or easier to separate? No. But from a formal point of view, if you have a Shem Muad La'adam already, once you got the Shem Muad La'adam, that sticks. That's a Shem Muad on the Behema. Right? If you're a Muad La'Behema, Muad La'Hezek Behema, you're not a Muad. You're a Muad La'Behema, according to that view. Once you're a Behema Muad, right, to shed that, right, you can't just go back to the other gradation. Right, to become a Muad is more difficult, or is less difficult, more difficult, right, than to lose the Shem Muad. Whatever I said. You understand. Okay. The example I wanted was the Ravid. Right, the Ravid says something, you know, extraordinary. Tzvi, what does the Ravid say? The Ravid Alatar. The Ravid on the Rambam. Yeah, it didn't mean the Ravid of Baba Kama. It meant the Ravid on the Rambam. Which Rambam? The Rambam that's
like... He says, oh, the Rambam that told us.
Excellent. The Rambam says what about told the same kiyotze lav kiyotze? We have to still talk about it more. I'm running out of time.
Any mood is going to be like it's any time is going to be like it's. Any tolda is going to be like it's.
That's how the Rambam says. The Rambam says like the Rif, right? Somewhat. Again, the Rambam probably has a view on the Rif anyway. Rambam helps us understand the Rif. The whole Rif is strange. Okay, I'll explain. I'm sorry this took a little longer, but again, it's the background that we need. So it's an investment. So the Rambam seems to say like the Rif. So Rambam seems to be saying that the question and the Gemara have told the same. It's fascinating, by the way, that the Rambam recorded the Gemara's discussion. One could have just said it was a Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara said, told the same as Kalav Kiyotze Bahan. The Rambam had to codify that told the same is, I'm sorry, that told the same are generally Kiyotze Bahan. The Rambam should have just codified the din of Chatzin Nezek Tzroros. It's interesting. The Rambam doesn't typically reject Havaminas of the Gemara. Right? That itself is interesting. So in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, and Halacha Beis, especially Halacha Aleph, it's fascinating that the Rambam, and especially, I'll add, especially if it's as difficult to understand as the Rif's Pshat seems to be, then you really just want to forget it ever happened. Okay, it was Lahagdil Torah Lahadira. Right? Apparently, according to the Rambam, you know, it was Lahagdil Torah Lahadira with an echo, the my way. Not Rabbeinu Peretz's way. Or maybe Rabbeinu Peretz partially agrees too. I don't mean my way, Mechaibim necessarily, but although I think that's true for the Rambam too. Right? Meaning, the Rambam says, don't think, that told the same Arlav Kiyotzeban, and he talks about Tam and Muad. Correct? So the problem is, what bothered the Rambam? Like, what is this riff? What is this Rambam even talking about? You're going to talk about Tam and Muad for other. Where's the Tam and the Muad for other Avos, there's no Stam Shvarim Lishmira Kaimi. They're all Muad and Litrila. The Toldos and the Av. The Toldos just as much as the Av. It's so strange. And that the Rambam codifies? He codifies that discussion. We just all want to pretend that it's not there. Correct? So what does Ravid say about it?
So he's talking about Muad and Litrila. So that's talking about anything that's Muad and Litrila.
That's the second day of the Ravid. But the Ravid says two things, right?
He asks his question, and then he...
What does the Ravid say about... what's his first suggested pshat in the Rambam? His second suggested pshat in the Rambam is what the Rambam really kind of says. Namely, you have it, the second one?
Yeah. V'ulai kach ratzalom ha-toldosein kiyotzeven kemo shehi muedes mitchilas alech ol peros kachi muedes liskachech mikosa ala nasa.
As opposed to that maybe some of the toldos have an equivalent of Tom, right? Which is kind of what it sounds like the Rambam is saying. Before that, he says something sensational. And the reason he said it is because he was just super uncomfortable with the riff of the Rambam, clearly. So what does he say? What's the line? You know, you read it, and then you tell me what it is. Oh, okay, you could read it. Okay, go ahead. How do you understand the Rambam?
He thought that the Rambam was saying that something has more.
Not that there was a Havamina, that there would be, a real Havamina, that there would be Tam and Shein Varego. Right? Rather, we're dealing only with Toldos of Karen, and what we really are thinking maybe is that if you're a Muad B'Shein Lemaisa, if you're a Muad L'Karen, now the question is, what happens if you do Be'ita or Neshicha? Right? So are you also a Muad for that, since you're a Muad of the Av? That's how he understood the Rambam. That's unbelievable. Right? There's no pattern that you're a Boate. You're just a little bit of a Nogeach. Says the Ravid, that's tamua bioter, because even if you're a muad in Karen Yamin, you're not necessarily a muad in Karen Small. And by the way, being a muad in Karen Yamin and Karen means you're not a muad in Karen Small. From a predictive and behavioral point of view, Well, because it's hemisphere, it's brain hemispheres? What is that?
Tosis entertains that possibility.
What?
Tosis entertains that possibility.
Yeah. No, you have to entertain the possibility if you want. The pashta starting off, everything about Karen, Tom, Muad should be pragmatic. What I'm trying to show is, at second glance, third glance, etc., you know, a lot of it isn't. Or a lot of it, according to many mefarshim, isn't. So what is he saying for the Rambam? When it comes to Av and Tol, when it comes to Karen, you know, Karen Yamin and Karen Small, then you need, you know, it's by the pattern. But if it's the Av, right, then that's Koveya for the Tolda. Not predictively. If you hold Karen Yamin is not Karen Small, then certainly you should hold. I think I told you this once. You know, apparently there are surgeons out there that are like left knee surgeons. Like they won't do your right knee. Right? That's the din. Karen Yamin, Karen Small. Right? Anyways, again, it happens to me that it's very difficult pshat in the Rambam anyway, because as Ravid points out, it's against the Rambam. Where? Oh, we're going to stop him. 30 seconds. Perek Aleph Halacha. What? Perek Hey Halacha Dal. Yeah, you have it? Right, I mean you have to be muad on every specific action. By the way, that isn't such a pashut. Just as Karen is not pashut. It's not pashut. None of these are pashut, in my opinion. They're either very specific, predictive, you know, whatever things. Again, I'm not against. And then they teach you very interesting things. But again, the possibility that the Ravid raises as even as a possibility, right, which the Rambam seems to contradict, which is that when it comes to Av, right, they're separate. When it comes to Av Tolda, again, if the point was that there's a din in the behemoth, this is a behemoth that needs watching. Right, so do we really care from a Stam Shimur point of view? If it's about not the action, and then, oh, this is what happened. Let's reconstruct. Was that a fail? Was it a Shmira failure? Well, not really, because he never exhibited, you know, that on his left side or in his Be'ita, only in his Karen. But wouldn't you, if you think of it more broadly, don't you have to, Bessie's not so docile. He has an aggressive streak. We got to keep him, you know, keep a better eye on him. You could have said, well, who cares whether it's Negicha or Be'ita? Certainly who cares whether it's Karen Yamin or Karen Small? But to be mechalek between, which the Ravid was suggesting, although he thinks it's Akasha, between Karen Yamin and Karen Small and Karen and Be'ita, right, that doesn't work at all unless you say there's a formal din at stake here. So what it takes to become a Mu'ad, what it takes to undo a Mu'ad, if those things are not purely behavioristic, then what we have is a hagdara of Karen and of Tom. Now that doesn't mean that the initial din of Katzi Nezek is not connected to the pragmatic element, or somewhat at least, but it also does mean that maybe it's not. The bigger point is, with this I'll stop for now, if Tom and Muad are purely behavioristic, then saying they're exeris akasu, right? Like tamun and kalim is tamua, and applying on any level, right? The din of tam and muad, even you know, it should have applied, but it doesn't. To avono sakino maso, I'll explain what I think helps with that. I guess on Sunday when we pick up is tamua. Let me just say it further. The whole riff and the whole Rambam and Rush are tmuim bioter if you say that this is all stam shvarim lishmira kaimi. Because what does it have to do with Shein v'regel? or with other patterns of Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shaleh? And frankly, the whole sugya of Karen Mechubar as opposed to Talush, right, comes under a lot of pressure. Right? Because unless, again, is it a machlokas in the tzius about Karen Mechubar versus Talush, or is it again about the threshold? That's better, especially if it's a conceptual question about the threshold. Ah. But if we say that the din of Tam and Muad, even if it's partly pragmatic, what makes the pragmatic part matter is also the halachic part, right? How we look at this, Shem Muad, Shem Tam, both in terms of the connection to the Bailim, the question of Shmira's Choser Shmira or the Ptur, the question, is it a rogue action, right? Or is it, you know, B'toras Shelo or B'toras an extension of your action? If we say that that is part of it, especially if we tell you that that is it, and the Stam Shmira is a result of it, then possibility of it being Zeres HaKasa, the possibility of there being a parallel to it in other Avos, and the possibility of there being a lot of interesting, you know, discussions about when it applies and when it doesn't apply, becomes much more serious. Now, part of that connects us to the question of, for example, the whole riff, the Rambam, that's Laman Damar Palganiska Malmona or Palganiska Knasa. Because goof on this question, maybe we could be Michalik between Palganiska Malmona and Palganiska Knasa. Okay, so we'll pick up with all of this on Sunday, and we look forward, whoever's coming for Shabbos.